Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rebook, the show where we talk about the men and the women who be slapping the meat in the middle of the squared circle and the stories they tell in the process, brother. I'm, of course, GB. You got Matt, you got Jake, and more importantly, we have a fun show in store for you today because a lot has happened, a lot hasn't happened. You know what happened? Oh, I didn't get to do the individual openings. Here we go. I'm going to give you.
No.
We were surprised. We have a fun show in store.
We do have a fun show.
Do we?
We do. Awesome. We do, because we're going to be talking about like things, the weird state of professional wrestling right now. And I don't know if we're the only ones who feel it. So we're gonna talk about that. And this is primarily focused on the show. We want to be very clear here. We don't toil around with dirt sheet noise and garbage because, look, it ain't interesting to us. What we care about is the product that we watch each and every week. And that's what we grade. That's what we discuss about. But before we do that, I do want to catch up with my boys real fast. Everything good? How you guys doing? Jake, you're looking rather youthful, as usual. Loving the... You know, the...
Am I?
I don't know. I'm trying to big you up here, okay? Don't... Why are you the way you are? You know?
I feel old as hell, man.
Actually, we had just wrapped up VCT Americas, and it was really fun ending to the season, or to the stage, rather, as we get ready for Toronto. But my coworker, Mimi, she found a... Because this is what we do at work. Clearly, we're professional. She found a... you know, those soft little tyke, the ball, like the baseball, and the bat, the foam bats that you can...
Oh, yeah,
you know,
like
with the,
yeah.
They're like, you know... Okay. A little bit more with a little bit more plastic and a bit more foam, yeah. You know, so you can get a good hit on the ball. So she had found that, and she really was like baseball obsessed right now. So she gathered a bunch of people, and we went out and like we're throwing the ball and hitting the ball in the parking lot of Riot Games Arena. It was really fun, and everyone thought we were crazy. And I totally blew up my arm throwing the ball. Throwing
Buddy,
the
you're not
tight
feeling
ball.
Youthful today.
No, I am not. So that was a warning sign that I'm getting old and I need to work out because I want to look like Matt when I'm 40. That's my goal for right now. Matt,
I want to look like me when I'm 40.
You do, you motherfucker.
I'm not 40.
You're not 40, but you're gonna look like you when you do turn 40, right? I mean,
my goal is to be. I have a goal to be in the best shape of my life. But at 40, when I get 40,
that's my similar. I just want to be able to run. That's my one big thing.
Right.
In case the zombies attack us, Jake. In case the aliens cardio. Show up.
Rule number one: cardio.
And yeah, then double tap. You know.
I'm vehemently against running. And if it's because I'm like being chased or attacked, then maybe it's my time.
Oh, dude, Cynthia's the same way. My wife is the same way. She's like, you know what? I know I'm not going to survive, so I'll just give up.
When it comes to me, there is no such thing as fight or flight. There is just fight.
Yeah.
There is no flight.
Stand your ground.
You're going to go down.
Yeah.
You're going to go down swinging. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I can respect that. That I support. Yeah. That I support. My wife, on the other hand, coward. Absolute coward. How dare she?
Listen, I can't, and this is because of my dad, I can't sit like at a restaurant or something. I can't sit with my back to the door.
My friend, actually, we went to dinner the other day and she had the same issue. You know,
dad, that's been a thing, and it just like it's ingrained in me now. Like I can't sit with my back to the door.
I get it. You know, that's that Bama.
Especially
now. Yeah, especially. Ain't that the truth there, brother? Well, before we go into that whole rabbit hole.
It's just a restaurant, not an elementary school, so no one cares.
Yeah, fair enough. So, oh, man. Hey, this is America. I'm going to start this off a little bit differently than what I usually do, because normally, you know, we'll talk about like, oh, you know, like this is, you know, what's been going on and this, you know, like we with the stories and everything. And look, wrestling has been since WrestleMania and a lot of things have kind of happened since then. Right. Look, I'm speaking purely for myself, but this is how it has felt for me. Since the build-up to WrestleMania was good but odd. WrestleMania ends, things kind of happen, and then in the middle of that, AEW starts putting together some freaking banger shows with some top-notch wrestling, like truly, like absolute just matches that I went back and I've watched multiple times now because they're so enjoyable. And it feels like they're kind of on the up and up, like in a way that I didn't really expect. And it's because of the narrative. I know this sounds weird to say, but like WWE has been focusing so much on the narrative that AEW has kind of served as a counterweight to where if you just want to watch good wrestling, you can watch good wrestling. But is that how we're feeling about that? Or is that like am I off the goop? Am I misinterpreting it? I want to get your guys' perspectives on how you're feeling right now with the current state of wrestling and how AEW specifically fits in the middle of that, since, you know, it's the AEW show.
Fair. That's fair. No, I'm relatively with you. I honestly, all three of the, you know, major Western companies that we cover, I think are in this kind of zone, to be, in my opinion, of like, we're post big show, little bit of resettling, little bit of rebuilding, like resetting where some of these stories are going. AEW is a little bit further along because their last big show was Revolution, which it's been several weeks now. Mm-hmm. But still, like, they had Revolution, WWE had Mania, even in TNA, we just had Rebellion, one of our big four. So it's like everybody's had one of their kind of bigger shows of the year and is built. AEW has the advantage of now they are kind of on that road to All In.
Yeah.
So it's starting to pick up, and I think they've reset post Revolution. We're going through Double or Nothing, but it's the road to All In. So they have a little bit more focus. Where the others, I think, have a little bit more of, we're putting new stuff out there post big show, and we're feeling how it goes. We've got a couple of these like Backlash, Under Siege style shows that are like 3 to 4 weeks after a big show that are kind of developing storylines. It's not blow offs. It's not huge things. It's more just, I don't know, bump in the road style matches.
Yeah.
In a way.
Makes sense.
Whereas I think they're all doing that, but I think AEW does have a little bit of advantage that we're hitting the steam to All In.
Fair. Jake, what about you?
Let me tell you why I stopped watching The Walking Dead.
Ooh, this is a good topic, actually. I'm curious. Go for it.
I stopped watching The Walking Dead in season 3. Ooh. I stopped watching it. I just looked it up. It was season 3, episode 13.
Mm.
It was the episode where Rick and the governor finally meet face to face. They come to that barn and they have a discussion. I stopped watching that episode because nothing fucking happened.
Mm.
Nothing happened.
Yeah.
And it seemed like they were at a point in their story where they didn't really know where to go with it.
Yeah.
And coming out of that episode, literally nothing changed from it happening. If you deleted that episode entirely from that season, nothing would have changed, because everyone went in with their opinions, no new information came out, and everyone left feeling the exact same way as when they went in.
Yeah.
There was no point to this episode. And I had already been kind of feeling that way going into it. And I was like, okay, here's where we're going to have, you know, this is, that episode was like, you know, Cody and Cena meeting in the ring for the first time. Right.
Yeah.
But imagine if they just kind of talked and didn't like air anything out. Nothing was really addressed. And then they just kind of left. So that's kind of how I'm feeling with wrestling right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is we've just had the dust settle from major events, from WrestleMania, from like you said, Revolution.
Yeah.
You know, and it just kind of feels like we're no longer in a holding pattern. We're just kind of in a place where we're trying to feel things out and figure out what we're doing. But the problem is you put on a TV show every single week of the year.
Yeah.
Right. And it feels like you just had this huge burst of creativity. And now that it's all kind of settling down, it's kind of figuring out, okay, well, what do we do now? And that's kind of the problem sometimes with wrestling, is that unlike these shows that get to go away for a few months and have a writer's room and discuss where's the season going and all that kind of stuff, it's constant with wrestling. So I feel like naturally there usually are these kind of down times, but this one feels bigger. This feels like a bigger downtime to me than usual. And I can't exactly place why. But I'm starting to get a little burnout, honestly. And this happens to me sometimes where I'm just like, I don't feel like watching it because I don't really feel like much is happening or it's going anywhere. It's just, we have to put something on TV. And I'm not saying that one company is doing that more than the other.
Yeah.
That's just kind of where it feels like we are. It feels like we're stuck with the world title picture in AEW. We're all waiting.
That's fair.
We're literally just waiting to see the result of one match. And it's not even, I don't even think it's the finals of the Owen Cup. I think we're just waiting to see the result of the world title match at All In. And that ain't close. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's kind of,
I would argue that
right,
I feel like I think the Owen Hart tournament has given AEW more to work with.
It has.
And I think as a result of that, it's made the, like, for example, like the Kyle Fletcher, Adam Cole match, or sorry, Adam Page match, the Hangman match was like really good. But you went into that matchup with a genuine feeling that Fletcher might win, you know, like I genuinely thought Fletcher had a chance to win that match. And I thought it was going to happen. I did not think that they would do Hangman versus Ospreay to, like, even though I felt like that was a 10 times better matchup. But when you look at the position and what they were trying to do and what they're doing with the main event there, it's going to slap, right? So I will say I'm excited for that matchup, but I don't disagree on the All In aspect. It's kind of like the reason why I mentioned last week, the Samoa Joe MJF theory, because there is a lot of time. And we saw when WWE made a really good call by putting the women's world title on Io Sky, how that kind of like jump-started that story in a really, really good direction. And now, you know, they're in a similar bubble where they don't really know where to go, but we'll see. Jury's out. We'll talk about that on Friday.
I do think it's worse right now in WWE than it is in AEW, because AEW is building to something, whereas WWE is building from something.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. So it's just kind of like,
I agree. That takes us to our narrative notes. Actually, let's and we can continue this conversation, because I think it's worth kind of highlighting what have been some of the reasons why AEW has felt just a little bit more put together than WWE has, which has been a little bit of a shocker considering how AEW was quite lost with where they wanted to go with this Death Rider story. And one can argue that they still kind of sort of are, but I do think they have at least a direction of where they're going now than they did before. So here is your notes for this week. You got the All-Star 8-Man Tag Match, by the way. Go out of your way to watch that. That was awesome. Top to bottom, just wacky, good wrestling fun. So, and again, AEW is doing something really clever here, in my opinion, in that, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about how much wrestling is on TV. And I know we've talked about this before, and there's always like there's pros and cons. And AEW right now is leaning heavy into these like high octane, very exciting, blam, like these matches that like are just in your face. They give you a bunch of wild moments, and it seems to be working because people are, I'm seeing a lot of discussion about these matches, like highlights pop up on my TikTok feed or whatever. Like people are talking about how crazy these matches are. Is that kind of the vibe that you guys are getting as well? Matt, we'll start with you on that. Are you getting like AEW just saying like, screw it, they're going to keep talking on mics, we're just going to lean more into the wrestling here, And do you think that that is a good strategy for right now?
So I think, one, that's what they've always done. That's been how they've wanted to identify themselves. Back in the early days when they were originally going to do, we're not doing backstage segments. Everything will be in the ring. Then they realized, well, we have to do something. We have to tell some kind of... But, so that's always been their kind of goal. And I think for the most part, they've always accomplished it. They've been very heavily focused on that. And have often more or less wanted to just, what's the best match we can put on kind of thing, as opposed to like, we always weaving this story XYZ. More recently, I think they are taking a big note from Japan. And especially companies like Dragon Gate, but even New Japan, especially if you go to like New Japan, like house shows and stuff like that. It's a big thing, and it's smart in a way, especially given the talent you have in AEW. They've done a lot, if you notice, in the past 3-4 weeks, 8-man tags.
Yes.
There's been several 6-man, 8-man tags. And it's smart, especially with a bunch of singles, because you can put together, you can keep everybody, you can do one or two big spots, so you can physically save yourself a little bit, but the match still feels like crazy fireworks because you have 8 different individuals. Oh, triple team move, double team move, big dive onto a pile. Like, it's physically safe because you can hold back and not have to wrestle 20 minutes all by yourself. And it's very fast paced. It's a lot of highlights. There's not a lot of story, but it's wild. Well,
and the story is kind of,
so you're saying you don't have to do a lot of running.
It all comes back to the running, you rat bastard. But but to that point though, I think like what we get a little bit is like, for example, the All-Star 8-man tag, right? There wasn't a lot in the way of story, but you got more Ricochet doing his thing, right? You got to see Ricochet with the Elite a little bit more. That was very compelling because they were working together, and they're working together again next week. So it's like, oh, wait a minute, this is interesting. Like those were the things I was taking away from that, because I just like those little pockets where they had like moments where they were doing something silly in between that. Also, the way that Okada very much was just this juggernaut. Like, he came in, beat the crap out of everyone, hit the Rainmaker, boom, the match is over. And now you're like, oh, Okada is still like a big threat, and Kenny Omega is going to have to deal with that. Like, it's those bits that it's the typical in-ring storytelling that we appreciate here that everyone does. But I just feel like AEW is just, they're just focused. They're just really focused. Like, they know exactly what they're doing when they're getting out there. It's not like, I feel like back in the day, they would just like do a bunch of crazy spots just to do crazy spots. But now it feels like the crazy spots have somewhat of a purpose on top of being crazy, which I quite like. Jake, I know you had something to say. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I was just going to say one thing that I kind of like that AEW seems to be good at when they do these multi-person tag matches, and it's not necessarily, and it's just between individuals, it's not necessarily between tag teams, or maybe there's one in there, but it's just, it's a lot of single people. I think it's a great way to find your next narrative.
Yeah.
I think you can go out there and it's, you know, you can push some other stories along and that sort of thing, but it's kind of like when we see the Royal Rumble, and it's like a test to put people in there together to see. Boy, my Southern really came out there for a hot second.
I heard it.
But it gives them an opportunity to see how they work in the ring together and how the audience responds to it. And I think that that's something that AEW, it feels to me a little bit like that's a reason that they do it, is that it's, well, we have a lot of things going on and there's not necessarily something big that's going to happen. So let's have these little moments that it's just a more, it's an effective way of continuing a story, not letting you forget about it.
Yeah.
But not dragging it out, you know? And I think that's something that AEW has gotten really good at lately, is telling more of these small stories.
I think it's also, to that point, I think with big headline stories like Elite, like Kenny and Okada, you know, we're getting back to that. It's also like the pro wrestling, and specifically AEW, because again, they don't do house shows. It's their way of throwing paint at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah.
You know, you put in it there with, you know, Mike Bailey, Kevin Knight, you know, Will Ospreay and stuff.
Now they got a great tag team with Mike Bailey and Kevin Knight.
Exactly.
It was all because of this, because these guys were doing these crazy moves together, and now like they're a team, you know, and it's kind of cool.
You literally have you just see Kevin Knight and Ricochet. That's interesting. Like, they really
you just discover chemistry.
Let's try to write a story for those two. Like, I didn't expect, I don't know, Adam Page and someone, I don't know, any random person. And that, like, in a one match that you weren't intending to book them, you weren't writing a story for them, but you're like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
They have a really interesting dynamic there.
And this kind of goes to, you know, the next one, which was Owen Hart Foundation men's semifinal matchup, because to your point, that's exactly what happened with Page and Fletcher, because Fletcher came out just to fuck with Page, and you're like, oh yeah, you know, obviously Fletcher's a douchebag, so this is what he's gonna do. And then you get this like promo between the two of them where they're like really serious about wanting to destroy one another, right? And then Page is like, I'm gonna Aussie open your ass, and then everything kind of just goes like crazy from there. Their matchup goes crazy, and now you're like, wait a minute, there's a possibility that Kyle Fletcher views Hangman Adam Page as the bigger problem and actually can cause him the matchup at Double or Nothing against Will Ospreay. Like, that is because now Kyle Fletcher is this like whole big wild card that's been thrown into everything, you know?
Yeah, and a little bit.
And all that came from, like, obviously they were building a match toward it, but like you see this chemistry and you're like, oh, this is cool. Like, I want them to explore that more.
Yeah. The idea being that this is the way it became because of tournament bracket, but maybe there wasn't an intention for like, hey, there's a Kyle Fletcher, Adam Page story on the horizon. But after seeing this, oh, wait, maybe there could be.
Yeah.
Maybe we should pivot because, again, it's more intriguing than we thought. It was originally just going to be a tournament match to get to whatever Double or Nothing is.
Yep.
But like, oh, wait, maybe there's more here.
There's more meat on the bone.
Maybe there's a great singles feud with them, for example.
You know what might be interesting is if Ospreay ends up winning and he's the one who faces Mox at All In, it might be interesting if Ospreay wins the title with help from the Don Callis family.
Ooh.
Like,
Never mind. We were just kidding, kid.
Well, say for instance, it was a situation of like, or maybe it's just Kyle that helps. And the reason being, I can't beat Mox and the Death Riders, but I know I can beat you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah. Because he did.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'll help you get the title off of Mox, and then I'm coming after you.
Yeah.
That could be pretty interesting.
Well, he didn't beat. No, you're right.
Will's got to get there.
Will's got to get there. But then on the alternative side to that, though, right, which is what we've been talking about, the interesting angle that you could take with Adam Page, because now it's like, what if he kind of goes the same route and Fletcher's like, I had you back against the wall. I knew I could beat you. And then he does it. He goes that way. Right. You can really take this in a bunch of different directions. And I think that's the thing that AEW has impressed me the most with lately. It's their willingness to be flexible in a lot of these, because I'm noticing, like, Tony Storm, for example. We'll talk more about Tony Storm in a second, but you want to talk about like just doing such a great job of getting, like, everyone's like, why she keeps doing these eliminator matches, because she's wrestling. She's like wrestling. Mm-hmm. She's the world champion of, you know, the women's division of AEW, and she's wrestling and challenging and putting her belt on the line. And that could be a story in of itself or not. But they found some really cool moments with her and Queen Aminata, for example. That was like a really fantastic matchup. I believe that was on Collision. Like, you know, it's just, you got to give flowers where they're due. You know, they're doing good work, and I'm digging it. One of the other stories that's been really interesting has been the dark side turn of FTR. Out of nowhere, FTR shows up with Stokely. That's a dynamic I never thought I would see play out on camera in a million years. But it's actually like kind of sick. And then on top of that, you have this Daniel Garcia narrative where Daniel Garcia has just been betrayed, or, you know, he's seen his heroes get absolutely destroyed, or his heroes turn his back on him. And he's going through like all this stuff right now. He lost his TNT title. There's like all this other baggage with him and Adam Cole. It's like, where are they building with that? You know, like
he's a man without a country right now.
He really is. It's fascinating. And then moving ahead, I don't know if you guys had anything to add for those, but you know, pretty solid stories there. And then of course there was another one that popped up because Trent Beretta and Rocky Romero are like, they're back, but they're, you know, Roppongi Vice, and they're looking to, you know, this is probably something setting up like Forbidden Door in some capacity, if I had to imagine.
I would think so.
Because it's a Rocky Romero thing. But there was like little things in there that I really liked. Like they cut a promo where Trent Beretta was like, I'm tired of being forgotten. I'm tired of being left behind. Like it was like it fit because of everything that's happened with Trent and his journey since coming to AEW and losing to Best Friends. What do you think, Matt?
The only thing is, it is a classic story.
Classic, yeah.
But I want something more. I can't tell you the number of promos I have heard of. I've been left behind. I've been overlooked for too damn long, and now I'm going to be a bad guy and do bad things to get ahead. Like, oh my God, Taylor. And what? I'm not saying this, Trent, it was perfectly good promo, but it's just every 2-3 months somebody comes who we haven't seen on TV in 6 months comes on and cuts that same
game. The reason why I like this one was because Rocky Romero said they didn't even put me on the shirt. And that was the thing that I was like, okay, that was really good because he was in the conglomeration and they never even added him on the shirt. So like I actually thought that a little part of it was really well done. But to your point, you're 100% Matt. Sorry, Jake, didn't mean to interrupt Mike.
It can be fine. I just hope they do a little bit more with it other than like, I'm overlooked. I'm a bad guy now.
Agreed.
And I beat people up.
Like, agreed.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fun to see someone say, I've been overlooked, but they're trying to be like an overly white meat baby face. And like trying to do good things and help people. And it's like just kind of getting in the way, but it's still not working. And then maybe after they win, they could turn heel. That might be pretty funny.
Like Bob.
Instead of screw it, I'm kicking everybody in the balls to get ahead or whatever. Because it's all just like, no, I need to do all the good deeds.
Yeah.
I will pick up your trash. I will carry your bag. I'll help you win. Like, I'll ring the bell during your match.
I will protect you. You know?
Give me a faction with the Thunderbolts arc.
Yeah. That's what we want. Because we're Thunderbolts pilled right now here at Rebook.
Yeah.
We just watched it and it's amazing. It's so watch the Thunderbolts. Anyway, some more things to yap about real fast. So and what is going to be exciting about that is the Outrunners are going to be facing off against Roppongi Vice. So we'll see what comes from that. Just could be a good match. And going back to more story stuff though, MJF still struggling to win over Bobby Lashley. And Bobby Lashley told MJF something very, very simple. The reason why he doesn't like him is because he doesn't hurt people. And that is exactly where I wanted the story to go. I want MJF to actually channel the vicious side when he attacked Daniel Garcia. You know, like that whole thing, right? Do we think MJF continues to try and worm his way with like gifts and stuff, or is he going to need to, you know, crack some heads?
Oh, we got to crack heads now.
You got to crack heads now.
Does MJF want to crack heads, or
does he could try and get someone else to do it and act like he did it?
I could see him picking off the low hanging fruit.
Okay.
Like I could see him, you know, just attacking nobodies with kind of, you know, like there's some kind of local talent who's there to visit. I'm here to see my friend. And it's like, he just beats the shit out of him.
That's,
you know, people who can't fight back for themselves. I can see MJF going after
security,
them.
You know, the local security.
Yeah. 100%.
You know, who would be pretty good for that would be Max Caster. actually, because of this whole best wrestler alive thing.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And he's and you're talking about low-hanging fruit. He has been the lowest of hanging fruit for AEW for a little while now. But there's something happened, as a matter of fact, on Collision, where he was doing the "Let's go, Max, you're the best wrestler alive," and the crowd was cheering with him. They were actually doing the thing. And right. and he was shocked that they were actually cheering. like you could see his face in the promo. He was like laughing. He's like, they're actually freaking doing this. And you see the people in the crowd, they're like, "Let's go, Max, you're the best wrestler." Great way to turn Max back to the good side. You have MJF come out and destroy him.
You like know what would be funny?
What?
And a unique take on AEW TV storytelling. A little bit of fantasy booking, but like, I don't see an MJF redemption arc. I don't see a babyface turn. But something, a multimedia, if you will, like turn. Because there's somebody who is a entertaining and beloved part of the AEW universe that has not really been used in like on screen in any kind of physical capacity other than pre-show panels and interviews. What if the latest guest, a recurring guest, I believe, on Hey You with RJ City is one Maxwell Jacob Freeman? And he goes to ask one of his funny questions, blah, blah, blah. And boom!
Yeah.
MJF just decks him. And like, people love those segments. They're so much fun. Mm-hmm. And it's one of their biggest, in my opinion, and one of their best like digital things that they do.
Yeah.
And like, I think he's got garnered that reputation where people love RJ's funny shit and stuff. So if it just like starts the interview, "Hey, like you said, you grew up in," bam, and it just pulls out and it's just like breaking shit, and they're like, damn. And all of a sudden the Hurt Syndicate's like, oh shit, like,
yeah,
it was, that was a bit much. We were just hoping you would beat up a wrestler or something like that, you know. get but holy crap.
Yeah.
And then it's the thumbs up, and we get a, I don't know, you want heat, you want to put some more heat, because MJF's been kind of haha funny girls cars. If you want to get him back to like, you want get some heat on him, and maybe this is at least a temporary big four-man faction. I don't know. It's.
I mean,
it's,
you could also. Hey, I brought. Hey, I know what you guys said last week, but I brought you another gift. And they're like, "Come on, man!" And he goes into the back and just drags someone's lifeless, bloodied body.
Yeah.
Out, and is like, "Here you go." You know.
There's definitely going to be something that happens that could potentially be like, oh, that's bad. Oh, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put it past them, you know, and I'm curious what they're cooking up there. But I like that RJ City theory. Like, that would be really cool. That, like, if they were to go that route, you make that a really big episode of, you know, the show that they already produce on YouTube. So you make it feel like, oh, this isn't just a podcast that is about the wrestlers and they joke. And like, this actually has, like, this is connected, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that'd be really smart. It would be really, really clever. And I totally dig it. Yeah, that's really cool. Go for
Nigel.
It. Nigel's a good option.
What if it's someone like Nigel?
Yeah, beating up commentators is always fun.
Yeah. I mean, what good
says
are they?
Says the current TNA commentator. But yeah, no, I
that's probably right.
Yeah, that was the thing I really wanted to do when I did my brief run. I really wanted to like get thrown into a table, but they said that they weren't doing commentator interaction at that time because we weren't wrestlers and JR and, you know, them were older and stuff. So it makes sense. All I wanted to do is get thrown through a table, though. That's just would be really fun. Matt, wait a minute. We could do this. Find me a wrestling gym. Put me through a table.
Rebook this, bitch.
Hit me with a razor's edge. I'll just go, yeah. That'd be great. Oh, man. Oh, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens with MJF, Bobby Lashley, the Hurt Syndicate, that whole narrative. It's been good. I've been interested. I've been compelled by it. And again, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about before with just how well put together AEW has been over the course of these last a few weeks, especially since that like Mania show that they did, the week of Mania, the spring, I forget what it was.
Spring Breakthrough or whatever.
Spring Breakthrough. Yeah. Which, by the way, I'm actually kind of digging that they're naming these episodes because it's helping me remember which one is which. Because there's like, oh yeah, remember that collision? Yeah, Playoff Palooza, you know? Remember that? Like, terrible name?
Oh, Maximum man. Carnage.
Hey, Maximum Carnage. That was one of the names that they chose of all time. Yeah, so we want to explore something here. And look, maybe it's a little fantasy booking. And we'll say it, you know, because look, at the end of the day, this is a show about wrestling, the results, the story, where it goes next, what we would like to see. So what we figure is we take this week, and if people like it, we could do the next title next week. We'll explain in a second here. We're going to talk about the AEW Women's World Championship and how it ends, and also what happens at Double or Nothing. Who does Toni Storm face? Is it Mercedes Moné? Is it Jamie Hayter? And if it's either of those, depending on who it is, how does it end, right? Like, does Jamie Hayter win the title off of Toni Storm? Does Mercedes Moné win the title off of Toni Storm? Or do they both lose? Let's discuss. So first, let's start.
So let's call this segment pre-booked.
Pre-booked.
Which is basically just fantasy booking, but like it gives it another segment title. So yeah.
Pre-booked. Yeah, another pre-booked graphic I'm gonna forget pre-booked to make. All right, so let's
just
get
put
some
a stamp over the retro rippage one. We don't need
that's
that
what it is. So we'll do pre-booked. Okay, so let's talk about this. Pre-book. What happens here? First things first, Mercedes Moné versus Jamie Hayter, because that's our first stop, and that happens at Double or Nothing. There's a lot going on in both directions here. You know, Toni Storm has been talking crap about Jamie Hayter living in the past, which is just really ironic given the circumstances. And then, of course, there's the looming threat of the belt collector, Mercedes Moné, who's been, you know, a dominant champion and been winning all her matches and stuff, has a very fair shot for that as well. Both wrestlers are white hot. They're doing really well. Let's book the finish of Double or Nothing. Who wins? And we'll, of course, do our predictions later, but this is more for the sake of the conversation. What do we think? Let's do, how does Jamie Hayter win? Does Jamie Hayter win?
No.
No. All right. Well, let's play
no
in a world
shot
of
on Earth.
Well, okay. So
no
shot.
No shot in cold blue hell. Does that happen?
Okay.
I'm putting my stake in the ground. No way. No how.
You don't even want to talk about a theory of Jamie Hayter.
We could. Sure. I don't see
that she. Yeah. Okay. So you think it's just it'll be a good match, but a boring build, maybe, or just boring all overall.
Because Jamie Hayter is a clear cut babyface, unless they decide to turn her after winning. It's just kind of like baby.
It doesn't scream all in to me.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fair. So,
I hate to say it because I like Jamie Hayter. I think she's great.
And like, I feel like they've done, like, they've put some emphasis on her, like, as far as her record since she's returned.
Yeah.
But I don't think they've put a lot of stock in her as a character, as a star, since she's returned.
Yeah.
Whereas they have done that obviously with Mercedes.
True. I do think that if they were to do Jamie versus Toni, it would be an amazing match, but it wouldn't be a marquee match on the card.
Right.
And I'm also wondering, and I know what you guys are going to say, but I'm also wondering if that's okay, given what is potentially going to be on the card. Like, maybe Hangman versus Mox. Kenny versus Okada, right?
Yeah, but you don't book what would be a lesser match. I'm just throwing theories out.
Yeah.
All in, it's your Mania.
You go big, right?
Ideally, everything's a banger. Everything's 10 out of 10. Everything's a must see.
Okay.
For that show, especially.
So then,
I have a pre-book.
Okay.
That I think could benefit everyone in all three of these in the situation. I'll be curious to see if you're in the same track as mine. Cause I think, again, they're obviously putting some stock in Jamie Hayter as she's winning a lot of matches. She's made it this far in this tournament. They do want something for her. I don't think it's the world title yet, especially at this time. So, and I do think there is a Mercedes Moné world title reign in our future. I don't know if it's at All In, but I do think it is probably this year. That said, Mercedes wins. No doubt about it. Probably in a hell of a match, but probably under some less than fortuitous circumstances. Ooh. Less than scrupulous methods. Ooh. From the clear heel Mercedes Moné. And she dances all over. She big time cocky. Mercedes goes full bore on Tony, right? And I plus just from a marketing, a visual standpoint, the black and white timeless Tony Storm with like Hollywood Vegas-esque like color motif of the CEO, you know, hip hop. So she's got that whole like Hollywood fucking
new Hollywood versus old Hollywood. Yeah.
Versus just classic. Like that there's a poster there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That said, I think Mercedes will be so focused on Toni Storm that I think I can't figure out how. But I think we're going to get Jamie Hayter challenging for the TBS title between now and All In. And I think the hubris of Mercedes Moné is going to cost her the title. And I think Jamie Hayter will win the TBS title in between now and then, giving her a bit lot of momentum kind of in there. And there's a couple of feuds I could see her having in the interim and leading to All In herself.
They've actually been building some stories around Jamie before she entered the Owen. So there are some little bits there. You know, I think she had like an interaction with Willow, interaction with Julia Hart, interaction with Queen Aminata. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
There could be a big multi-woman match for the TBS title, maybe at All In. It could be cool.
For sure.
And then I think we're getting Mercedes and Tony. I cannot decide if that's where a title change happens or maybe the feud continues. But that's my loose pre-booking.
Okay. Okay, I like that.
Double or Nothing into All In.
I like that. All right, Jake.
Similar, or do we diverge?
No, we're on the same track because I think what should happen is in the Owen Hart Women's Finals. I think Mercedes and Jamie Hayter have a banger match. I think they just have a great match. We know they're both capable of it. And it's very back and forth. Like it's close the whole time. And finally, Mercedes can't stand it anymore. She's got to put her away and cheats to win.
Yeah. Maybe hits her with the belt. Above it. Something like that.
Something. Yeah. I kind of like that. Hits her with the belt, hits her with the TBS championship. And, you know, ref doesn't see it, whatever. She gets the pin. She's going on to All In. Jamie Hayter is understandably and righteously pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she demands not only a rematch with Mercedes Moné, but demands it be for the TBS championship.
Yeah.
And you know what? You took one huge opportunity away from me, so I deserve to have another.
And there's a Dynamite main event right there that sits right in between All In.
And Jamie Hayter becomes the new TBS champion. Takes the title off of Mercedes. Mercedes goes on to drop every single other title that she has.
She crashes
out.
Loses
all of them.
Yeah.
Crashes out. Now she's a different animal. Like I can't, you know, she's Queen Midas. I can't live without my gold. I have to have gold. Who is Mercedes Moné without gold around her waist?
Yep.
We need that Michael Myers meme. What's the from Gold Member?
I love gold.
Yep.
And so that Mercedes goes on to fight Toni Storm at All In, because then what she does is she leaves the TBS title picture in a better place than she found it.
Yep.
And we can start involving some other people or just kind of start fresh with Jamie Hayter as the champion and bringing other people in to challenge her. Whatever.
Then you get that back to being like a mid-card belt that you could put on TV, have it, you know, Yes.
You have it, you know, defended all the time. It can maybe change hands a little bit.
And people love Jamie Hayter, so she's like a perfect candidate for that.
Yes. Dude, and so
I think you guys are cooking.
And then we see Mercedes, you know, go on this desperate, angry Mercedes go on to face Toni Storm at All In.
Yeah. Yep.
That's kind of how I would like to see it. And I think that would be a lot of fun.
And who knows, you know, if you really, really want to, because I think they're also really big on Billy Starks right now, too. And I don't know. I'd like to see a world where maybe there's something that goes on with either Billy Starks or Athena. I think more so Billy Starks can like get in because, hey, you know, like she like lost to her and she's, you know, like there's a respect there. Right. And she's obviously trying to Billy Starks has been trying to learn from the best and Mercedes beat Athena. So, you know, ipso facto, Mercedes should be the best in Billy Starks' eyes. So maybe she's the one who assists in that ending for Toni Storm, because I think Toni Storm chasing after that belt would be very, very exciting for her. Or she gets some time to like go away for a little while and chill out. But I don't know. That there's a lot.
Do you think Billy Starks kind of becomes the Mariah May to Mercedes?
I could see that happening. Maybe not one to one directly. But I could definitely see it be something to that effect, you know, just to give her a story. Cause I mean, don't get me wrong. I would like to, I don't think it's going to happen overnight, you know, cause I do think that it will be Billy Starks helping out Mercedes Moné, but I can also see a world where Mercedes like, I didn't need your help, blah, blah, blah. And then like things get a little bit weird from there. Like who knows? Right. But, I do believe though,
Billy Starks surprise win the TBS title. Somewhere in here, and then that can even lead to a side quest with Athena coming up, like because Billy Starks kind of has outgrown Athena now. She won a main, main roster. I don't know right. How it's about, but like a main AEW title before Athena did. Even though she's had this incredible Ring of Honor women's title reign,
yeah,
it's like, oh, she jumped out from the nest, maybe without Mama Bird's permission.
Yeah,
and there's a little bit of tension there,
yep.
And then they could have like a feud on Dynamite proper and stuff between Athena and Billy.
But I love the theory though of her dropping the belt before All In. I really like her coming into All In.
I think she drops all of them.
I think she drops all,
and then people will say, "Oh, but that's going to make her look weak going into
nope."
I think that makes her hungry.
Makes her desperate,
starved and desperate.
Yeah,
to win gold back. She doesn't care what it is. She just wants gold around her waist.
And she wants the one piece of gold she has not been able to get.
Yep.
Since her time in AEW, since her arrival here. Because, yes, did she hold the TBS championship and make it feel like it was a big deal? For sure. You know, it's Mercedes Moné. You definitely can say that. But now comes the real crux of the story. This is where if AEW nail this. This is going to be good. And I'm excited. But I'm excited too, though. I do want to clarify for anyone who's like, oh, if this doesn't happen, it'd be dumb. Because look, we're on for the ride no matter what, right? Like whatever's is going to happen to us one way or another. So whatever it is, we're just gonna take it. That being said, there are some really fun angles they could take, but they can also easily just go into All In with Mercedes Moné holding every single belt, winning, and then being like the ultimate belt collector. That's also fair.
Death Riders, and we never see any title ever again on AEW television.
Yeah, but you know, like that also could happen, and I'm also not entirely opposed to that as well, especially if it's coming out through shady means. It just depends on how it plays out, right? But I do think that to set everything up, and if AEW, because this is kind of what starts the discussion, if they're thinking about what comes after All In, I think you start building that right now, and rather than waiting till after All In happens, because it's kind of how it feels like with WWE. Outside of like the fact that we knew that Randy and Cena were going to fight a Backlash, it was like everything just felt so like blam 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 blam, right? So there's an opportunity here for them to really, really plant some roots and do something fun. We'll see, of course, what happens there. All right, fellas. Not much more to discuss on that one, but we want to hear from you. make sure you sound off in the comment section down below if you made it this long into the show. You know, what do you think about our theory, but also what would you like to see happen? We love to hear from you. That takes us to our final bit of the show. As always, what we like to do here, it's our, oh wait, there's a graphic, rebooked 24/7 champion of the week. That's, of course, where we talk about the thing that brought us joy this week. It could be wrestling related, could not be wrestling related. It doesn't matter. Who wants to go first? Because I'm willing to go first.
Just as a refresher, who won last week?
It was our friends who gave us the video. I actually have it here. I have it here real fast. I could pull it up real quick.
Turn it on. Stop it. I'm going to leave. I will leave. You guys can do the next two shows without me. We record all these in one day. I can leave.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? You're so right, Matt. We're so
sorry.
I'll go first.
Well, I'll go first in my rebook.
Go for it.
Because your wife has sent us a new video. No, I'm just kidding.
There could be a lot of those.
No, not that video.
Oh man.
I'll go first. I'll have two. We kind of talked about one earlier. One of mine is Thunderbolts.
I was gonna say Thunderbolts.
I was gonna say Florence Pugh.
Look, because we, as a show that focuses on storytelling,
yeah,
Thunderbolts nailed it.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't speak highly enough. It's everything we've been missing from Marvel movies. We've been missing that heart, and we've been missing great character development.
Yep.
And complicated and layered characters. Like, I can't speak highly enough about how good Thunderbolts was. And not only that, I think it's a great movie for people to just go see, regardless of how you feel about Thunderbolts. And I don't want to say why, because I'm afraid it'll ruin some storyline things or whatever. But I think you two know what I'm talking about, because we talked about it before.
Oh yeah, no spoilers, but for sure.
There's some great messages within the show. There's great within the movie, there's great themes. Like, I love all of these characters now.
Yeah.
I want a Russian propaganda poster of Red Guardian to hang on my wall. Like, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. Can't speak highly enough of it. Go see Thunderbolts. It was outstanding.
Yeah, seriously, go out of your way. And go watch Sinners.
Yeah.
And go watch Thunderbolts. Those are the two Sinners, movies that are like, look, worth everyone's time right now.
We're eating in theaters right now. Sinners was also
phenomenal.
Great messages in that. Great social commentary. But just like so entertaining of a movie. Yeah, just fantastic. The other one that I was going to mention. Oh, sorry.
Go for it, Jake.
Other one that I was going to mention actually got a shout out on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. My hometown minor league baseball team, the Rocket City Trash Pandas.
Wait, what?
Got a call. Yeah.
That's the real mascot?
Yeah.
The Trash Pandas.
That's amazing.
The Rocket City Trash Pandas. John Oliver did a whole segment talking about crazy and weird promotions that minor league teams do, but just the names. And he talked about, he was like, there was a moment where they were talking about when they decided to name the team Trash Pandas after all, because they did like a fan vote. You could send in names.
Rocket City Trash Pandas
is what won. But the owners were like, I don't know, do we want to put trash in the name of our team name? And John Oliver was like, yeah, you do, because it'll make you a billionaire. And he grabbed a Trash Panda's hat that he bought and put it on. He's like, TP's for life, baby.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, so I always, any chance I get to plug my Trash Pandas, who are an affiliate of the LA Angels.
Yeah, because when I think of the Angels, I think of the Trash Pandas, for sure.
Well, when you think of the Angels, you think of trash.
That is true.
So I, I just got done filming at UC Irvine, whose mascot is the Anteaters.
Yep.
Yeah.
The most fearsome of bug eating
carnivorous
marsupials,
yeah.
Apparently. I don't know.
Fascinating
it's
creatures.
Like weird choices.
Yeah.
For
it
fighting
doesn't make sense. I'm just going to go and say real quick, minus Thunderbolts as well. I saw it yesterday. It was great. It was a moment in there because I've also struggled a lot with depression and stuff like that. And there was a moment where they were talking about the depression that you feel and they were describing it so well. And I think
I'm telling you, it brought tears to my eyes.
I think you, yeah. I think if you're so, it sounds corny because it's a Marvel movie, but genuinely they put so much effort and care into that script. Go watch it. It's worth your time. I assure you, Matt, you're up. Last one.
I was going, like I said, I was going to, but I will defer. I'll bring us back to wrestling. And mine is it does happen this week, but it's preemptive because, it will take place, something to do with taking place on TNA this week.
Ooh.
So my preemptive 24/7 champion of the week is Steve Macklin. And because I say this in the most complimentary way, and he would get it. He's a psychopath.
Yeah.
And in the best way, he goes balls to the wall, maybe even when he shouldn't. And he has a dog collar match with Eric Young this week, coming week. The international title on TNA Impact, and it gets brutal, and he goes to the wall, and but he is great. He goes full force, and like you can't say the man does not commit and busts his ass and works hard and everything.
He says
like
it right
that.
There
so,
in his chest, front toward enemy,
dude. And it's shoot. That's a shoot. So
yeah.
Make sure to check that out, and props to the man.
Yeah, I will agree. I will say go watch Thunderbolts, but watch Impact this Thursday, and I will give it to Steve Macklin as well, just so that we're all on the same page here. Because, watch Impact. It'll be worth your time. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for us here this week, or at least this Wednesday for our AEW show. We thank you so much for tuning in, as always. But don't forget that there is a TNA show that's going to be coming out on Thursday, and then we'll have our WWE show where we preview Backlash. That is going to be airing on Friday, but Backlash will be on Saturday. So you'll be joining us for that as well. Thank you so much for watching. We appreciate each and every one of you for supporting the show, and we'll see you soon. Peace.